So, throughout the developed world, birth rates have plummeted over the past several decades for the simple reason of easy access to inexpensive birth control and that women are spending more and more time in education and in starting careers during their prime childbearing years. While, of course, there are other factors, but other than Israel, most advanced nations are now relying on importing people instead of making babies themselves. But in the Far East, things are different. There is a strong cultural resistance to open borders and the Western solution to shrinking populations. Even Elon Musk has tweeted that Japan will cease to exist if low birth rates continue. What is interesting, however, is that none other than Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, well, he's now of the opinion that xenophobic states, rather than countries with open borders, will be the big winners in the years to come.
I could argue in the developed countries, the big winners are countries that have shrinking populations. Okay, that's something that most people never talked about. You know, we always used to think shrinking population is a cause for negative growth. But in my conversations with the leadership of these large developed countries that have xenophobic immigration policies, they don't allow anybody to come in, shrinking demographics, these countries will rapidly develop robotics and AI and technology. And if the promise, I didn't say it's going to happen, but if the promise of all that transforms productivity, which most of us think it will, we'll be able to elevate the standard of living of countries and the standard of living of individuals, even with shrinking populations. And so the paradigm of negative population growth is going to be changing. And the social problems that one will have in substituting humans for machines is going to be far easier in those countries that have declining populations.
Larry Fink, it should be noted, is the CEO of BlackRock, which is the largest money management firm in the world with more than $10 trillion with a T, of assets under its management. And that is dollars, of course. While deeply invested in the culture of DEI, he now openly rejects the Western political and media fetish of open borders. And his understanding of shrinking populations is diametrically opposed to that of Elon Musk. Now, while most are familiar with developed nations in the West and their open borders policies, several countries in the Orient, namely Taiwan, South Korea, and specifically for this video, Japan, are all nations that have yet to embrace all of the tenets of globalism. And the question then remains, why would Japan willingly choose extinction, as Musk calls it, rather than follow the Western world in their grand civilizational experiment? Everyone's got bad habits, and sometimes it's not about quitting, it's about finding a better alternative. Fume, the sponsor of today's video, has created an innovative, flavored air device that's perfect for those moments when you want to break away from bad habits and still have something enjoyable to reach for. Fume's award-winning flavored air device allows you to draw flavor into your mouth, and it's not a vape, it's an alternative that can even help you quit bad habits and can be used anywhere as there is no electronics, vapor, or combustion. There's not even any batteries. There's no nicotine, it's not addictive, and comes at a fraction of the cost of those habits that you're looking to leave behind. Fume's core is closer to something like herbal teas with a variety of flavors like crisp mint and orange vanilla. And it has a pretty neat design and, well, it's made to be fidgeted with. Fume has already helped over 300,000 people build better habits. So try Fume today. And if you order the Journey Pack now using my code BLACKPIGEON, you'll get a free Fume topper, which is an awesome accessory to level up your experience. So go to tryfume.com/blackpigeon or scan the QR code on the screen now. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised while breaking bad habits with finding a better alternative.
That we find strength in our diversity.
Diversity,
is the Democratic Party's greatest strength.
We think the diversity is the strength of the Republican Party.
Diversity is our strength.
Our diversity is our strength.
Diversity is our strength.
This diversity is our strength.
Diversity is our strength.
Diversity, which is our strength.
Our diversity is our strength.
Diversity is our strength.
The country's strength is our diversity. It's not our weakness.
Our diversity is our strength.
Our diversity is a strength and a blessing.
Diversity is one of our great strengths.
Diversity is one of our greatest strengths.
Diversity is our greatest strength.
Our diversity is our greatest strength.
Our diversity is a strength.
And we honor the strength of our diversity.
Diversity is our strength. Well, this statement, which is repeated ad infinitum, without any real explanation, historical examples, anthropological inquiry, nor economic justification, is taken as fact within the entirety of the Western world. This is what is called the illusory truth effect, in that if something is repeated enough, it can start to be perceived as being more true than it really is, even if it's not true at all. But this great civilizational experiment, and this experiment is what it is in open borders, this great civilizational experiment has now run up against reality. And many are beginning to question the legitimacy and even the sacrosanct nature of the illusory truth effect across the Western world. Perhaps its greatest champion, that of open borders, is Canada's Justin Trudeau. And he's not only now deeply unpopular, but is bordering on being outright despised within his country. The return of Donald Trump in the United States also signals a deep undercurrent of dislike for the prevailing orthodoxy within the halls of social institutions, including government, academia, and media. However, over in Australia, New South Wales Premier Chris Minns, well, he's doubled down and protests that there is no questioning, there will be no questioning, nor room for any debate on what are essentially state diktats.
It's one of the reasons why we have far stricter and far tougher hate speech laws in Australia than they do in the United States. And I don't make any apologies for that. The reason we do is because we want to protect what can be a very fragile community that we've built in Australia, the multicultural community of 2025. And that's not up for debate, and it's not up for a change.
Mr. Minns is clear that multiculturalism that has been built in Australia is very fragile, in his words, and that is why any questioning of it will be considered hate. What has been clear now, however, for decades, is that having open border policies is all about creating new debt slaves within the destination country. I mean, this is the real reason for the open borders. With most people within the countries, well, the destination countries, already being squeezed dry via debt, the elite want more warm bodies to funnel into the financial, commercial, property, and other infrastructures they already almost completely own. And there is simply no other reason for this policy. Immigration policies, obviously, in the West at least, do not prioritize, cultural integration or the preservation of local identities, nor even the quality of life for destination countries' citizens. These aren't even an afterthought. Western nations have been for a long time now simply regarded by their elites as economic zones and the people living within their nations as little more than economic units, rather than members of a community with rights and social heritage, and cultural heritage for that matter. But this is not the case for developed nations in the Far East, namely Taiwan, South Korea, and Japan, who still see their nations as being based on shared history, culture, ethnicity, and language, among other things. And these are the nations that BlackRock's Larry Fink is talking about when he discusses his belief that xenophobic nations will have an advantage going forward. While much ink, or keyboard strokes, I should say, have been spilled on the supposed opening of Japan to outsiders, what those in the West writing on this topic fail to understand are the Japanese people themselves. Japan, and I should know because I have lived in the country for some time, is a cohesive, safe, and polite society because of the fact they are homogenous rather than diverse. Everyone knows the social contract and abides by it, as Japan, like other Eastern Asian nations, is a culture shaped by shame rather than guilt. And most of those that are arriving currently are students that are on short-term visas that are allowing them to work part-time at places like convenience stores, and they are not migrants bringing their families with the intention on staying on permanently. Also to understand is that gaining Japanese citizenship is notoriously difficult, and Japan itself is very different for those in the developing world looking to settle in a more advanced country, in that there is no welfare state and very little, next to nothing, in terms of handouts for the Japanese people themselves to access. The country does support physically and mentally disabled citizens as well as the elderly, but that's about it. While Western nations operate welfare states with open borders, Japan is a semi-closed nation without a welfare state. In stark contrast, to the West, it, like other East Asian nations, is a sink or swim society. Moreover, the Japanese do not see it as their moral responsibility or their moral imperative to allow endless masses of people from outside of their country to settle on the home islands. Of course, like South Korea, there are people arriving for work, and this number will grow. But again, there are key differences with that of Japan and the welfare states of the West. Japan doesn't permit chain migration, nor does it have things like birthright citizenship. In fact, it doesn't even have individual birth certificates, but family registries. And again, there are no handouts to non-citizens, no church food banks, for example. There is next to nothing for those arriving hoping to use the established systems in place to their benefit, other than perhaps subsidized healthcare, which I might add still is not free. All of this makes the country a much less attractive destination for those seeking a new life in a more developed country. The Japanese are also famously distrustful of outside groups within its borders, or within the borders of Japan. Koreans and Chinese have long been singled out for alienation in Japan, but recently, with the arrival of small groups of Muslims, well, the Supreme Court of Japan upheld a police blanket surveillance of Muslims and spy programs on Islamic groups, including mosques and even halal restaurants, as the court deemed it necessary and inevitable to prevent terrorism. As well, the court belittled its negative impact on the human rights of Muslims within Japan. Thus, while welcoming guests warmly, the country is not one that makes itself attractive to migrants seeking a modern welfare state to relocate to, and thus, without replacing its own declining population, many, including Elon Musk, have concluded that if nothing changes, the Japanese people will go extinct. Now, of course, this is debatable. Things change, eras change. For example, in the aftermath of the Black Death, which was, as far as I understand, the largest loss of life in European history, and that's as a percentage of the population, well, the Black Death did allow for European rebirth and the Renaissance. So whatever happens over the next 100 years, I'm pretty confident that Japan, with a reduced population, will still remain Japanese. I cannot say the same thing about a single Western nation, however. And in reality, the Japanese home islands are already extremely overpopulated. You have about 127 million people packed into the flat spaces, and there aren't very many of them, flat spaces in the country, in an area roughly the size of California. Clearly, and I've spoken about this for almost 10 years and it should be understood, videos on this particular topic can be found on alt tech sites, my alt tech sites, links are in the description, but clearly endless population growth is nothing more than an economic scam that is predicated on ever-expanding debt. Perhaps the West should listen to people like BlackRock's Larry Fink and maybe learn from the Japanese. While the West is playing at its civilizational experiment, those in the Far East are sitting back and watching the outcome of this experiment with great interest. But either way, Japan is not choosing extinction. Quite the opposite, in fact. Japan, unlike the West, is choosing long-term survival over short-term economic gains. And the same could be said about Taiwan and South Korea. So that's it. Thanks very much for watching. If you liked the video, please check to see that you're still subscribed. If you'd like to help the channel, ways of doing so are in the description, and it'd be very much appreciated. Also, check out my sponsor for this video, Fume. Link is in the description, and I think you will be pleasantly surprised while breaking bad habits. With that said, see you in the next video. Bye for now.